Are you ready for the weekend yet? We have events, news, and a guest for you to enjoy this Lake Life weekend. Hello and welcome to Lake Life Weekend Podcast. My name is Dirk, I'm your host, and we already have weekend 32 in front of us. Lots going on, and please stay tuned. We have Jeremy Walker of Hydroflight Sports Minnesota in our interview speaking about Hydroflights, and that is really something awesome. After our interview, Jeremy just asked me, say, what are you doing tonight? And he invited me over, and I actually took some Hydroflight time, and it was amazing. I'm already hooked. It's cool, and it's really easier than one thinks. So let's stay tuned and hear all about what he's doing here, and I think everybody should try that out. Some news: KLN newest spot in Perm. KLN Family Foods is a well-known brand, not just in the local Perm area, but all over the nation for their pet food and candy. On August 1st, they open a new storefront in downtown Perm, sharing space with Secondhand Rose. Charlie Nelson, the third generation president of KLN Family Brands, explains that his new location is to promote their products, not to compete with the other local retailers of KLN products. He sees that it is an opportunity to promote products and current locations so customers know where to find other retailers in the area. Storefront is at 1141 First Avenue South in Perm. There's a full article in the Perm Focus. You can drive to our website, lakelifeweekend.com, and you'll find a link there. Big Pelican owners make memories since 1990. An article we picked up at the Pelican Rapids Press, and the Big Pelican tour boat owners, Sherry Trapp and Nick Valentine, shared some of their favorite memories from their tours around Big Pelican in that article. A nice read. They have hosted weddings, events, church groups, and for years they have done the tour boat rides at Fair Hills Resort, where they will take a trip on the lake followed by a dinner and a show at Fair Hills Hootenanny. I heard of that one actually before. I think we should interview those two. What do you think? They have heard almost every Titanic one-liner there is. Although they have never hit an iceberg, they did get stuck in sand in shallow water, which led to more jokes among those on the boat. A nice read. Please drive to our website to read the full article. A unique use for rocks in Fergus Falls. A recent vacation to Wisconsin Dells sprouted an idea in a Connie Nygaard's mind to start a new project. With a background in art and design paired with her passion to be creative, Connie started the Fergus Falls Rocks. It's a project to paint and hide rocks to help encourage people to get out and spread kindness. The idea may seem foreign here in Minnesota, but it's actually a pretty common pastime in Wisconsin. You start by painting your rock with any design, wording, or anything, etc., and hide it somewhere around Fergus Falls within the city limit. Whoever finds a rock should bring it with them on their next vacation, lake visit, or any other of their favorite places. The idea behind this project is to leave an unexpected piece of art for the next person to find. Full article at the Fergus Falls Journal, and you find a link on our website, lakelifeweekend.com. Events. Lots going on. August 9th, Cruise DL Night, from 4 p.m. to 8:30 at the City Beach in Detroit Lakes. It's the third Cruise DL Night for the season, and I have been there a couple times. Really cool. Connect with others over old cars, listen to the DJ, and relax in your lawn chair. This upcoming weekend is Looney Days in Vergas. We will be there. It's the 2017 Vergas Looney Days, August 10th through August 13th. There's a huge schedule. There's a softball game, there is a street fair, there's a 5K run, there's a sandcastle contest. I would like to invite you. I'm actually hosting the sandcastle contest at the public beach in Long Lake, Vergas, Saturday, August 12th from 10 a.m. to noon. And we will put the rules up on our website too, so I invite you to come to our sandcastle contest. The cityofvirgus.com website has the full schedule also. Please drive there too. Summer Thursdays live at the Lodge, August 10th, 5 p.m. through 8 p.m. in Detroit Lakes. The David Fiera Trio play jazz music at the Lodge from 5 to 8. And then August 11th, the DL Firefighters Dance, that's Friday, 8 p.m. through 11 p.m. at the Lakeside Tavern on Westlake Drive. The annual street dance is this year will have the band 32 Below to support the DL Volunteer Fire Department. Then also Friday, August 11th, Gene Simmons and his band at the Shooting Star Casino, 8 through 9:30 in Menomen. And then on August 12th, we have in Detroit Lakes, the Lakes Area Farmers Market at the People's Park, Rossman Avenue. And on August 12th, also 6:30 through 8:30 p.m., there's the Otterdale Summer Concert. Rock and 60s will be performing at the City Park in Otterdale, if you're down that side of the Lakes Country. A husband and wife team playing 60s music. And on August 13th, we have the Wildflower Invitational. It's the Wildflower Golf Course here, Highway 20. It's Sunday, August 13th, and it's a tournament. You find all details at golf tournament at the wildflowergolfcourse.com website. A link also on lakelifeweekend.com. These were all event updates and news. Thank you for tuning in. Enjoy your upcoming weekend. Enjoy the interview with Jeremy. And go to our website for the complete event schedule, lakelifeweekend.com. Also, send us an email at hello@lakelifeweekend.com with questions or suggestions. We look forward to hearing from you. Thank you. Hello and welcome to our podcast. I'm here with Jeremy of Hydroflight Sports Minnesota. Welcome, Jeremy.
Hey, how you doing? Good to be here.
Thank you for coming. I'm doing well. It's a good summer day. You're busy. I caught some time of yours between flights, and I know you have an event coming up. But before we talk about Hydroflights, technical things, how to book a session with you, tell me, you are from Minnesota?
Yeah, I originally grew up in the Mankato area, just south of Minneapolis there.
Okay, born and raised in Minnesota, and tell us a little bit about your history. You left Minnesota?
Yeah, so I graduated high school down in the Prior Lake area, and then I ended up going out to ski in Colorado, like a ski bum instead of college kind of thing, if you know what I mean. And then just ended up coming back here a few years ago due to family issues, and been back ever since. Love it, and in the meantime, I brought back a sport that I really love to do.
Yeah, and you told me just earlier you do dirt bike racing and like you're an extreme athletic person, but you're also a pilot by trade?
Yeah, I actually went to college for aviation technology and down in Bozeman, Montana, and just love to fly. I like to be up in the air, and I really enjoy that feeling, that sensation of defying gravity, and understanding that is really brought me into this sport as well, because I kind of saw it at the same time and it just kind of fell in love with it.
You know, I saw video glimpses. The hydro flight thing was very far away for me. I thought it was the future, but it actually is alive already. And where is it coming from?
Well, the power of the jet ski is what's really developing the flight access of it. But when we go back into where the actual industry started, it comes back into, it goes to a French racer named Frankie Zapata, mm-hmm. who he ended up, he was a jet ski racer for many years. He ended up retiring back around the 2009, 2010 area. Don't quote me there. Mm-hmm. Just kind of was messing around in his shop, and he had seen another gentleman, Dean O'Malley, do a jet pack out in California. So he decided, let's transfer that power to somebody's feet and see if we can control it. So he developed the Flyboard, which has really become a key item, especially for a lot of hydroflight athletes out there now. And he's started the World Cup. He's kind of developed a system of sports, extreme hydroflight devices. And there's been a lot of other companies that have come along board as well with other devices that we don't... get to see very often because there's new developing hydroflight devices every day. It's kind of cool. But when we start out looking at what he had done, it just changed the idea with developing from basically the athletes, changing everything from hand wands to getting rid of them to going into new tricks. And every year new tricks get developed. Like this year, one of the biggest new tricks all around the world with what our forum is the front flip. So that is
let's go back. Wait a second. So I gotta absorb this. I'm slow. We are a little slow. So wait, it's just like a seven. It's not brand new actually. It's not even a decade old. This whole technology.
Yeah. No. This started back in 2012, 2013. It came to the U.S. A gentleman named Paul Gavick decided to become a distributor here in the U.S. And he actually lives right here in Minnesota.
No kidding.
And great guy. He's got two kids that really took and grabbed a hold of this sport and took it to a level where, you know, challenged people worldwide at how people could fly this board. And Caleb and Jesse Gavick, amazing flyers. They ended up really kind of setting the tone for a lot of people worldwide. And I've traveled and seen them down at several different events that we've done. The Guinness Book of World Records was in 2014, that where Frankie Zapata came and we did the most flyboards in one area down in Arkansas. So that was really fun. And they also do a lot of the night show stuff with us. But when I ended up meeting Paul. My first flyboard experience was in 2013 with a gentleman named Justin Haney. I was just out of college. I went over there, met a guy up in Flyboard of Montana, and went and flew up in Whitefish Lake. It was one of the coolest experiences. After 20 seconds of flying, Justin had looked at me and said, you know, you should be in business for something like this. This looks like you're just addicted already. And so there it was. I had met him, and about 6 months later, I had called him up and said, hey, who do I talk to? And I called Paul up in Minneapolis and moved back to Minnesota, and I started flyboarding in different companies from southern Minnesota all the way up to the northern area. So now it's become a great job, and I fly a lot of people.
Again, whoa, I'm slow today. I don't know if it's the heat.
Might be fast.
Yeah, you're really fast. Okay, wait a second. You're probably fast. No, let's. Okay, it's brand new, 2012. Like only 5 years ago, it hit the American market. A Minnesota gentleman got the distribution rights. Of course, I mean, the land of the 10,000 lakes.
Absolutely. Lake Life.
Lake Life. Yeah, Lake Life.
For sure.
So now we have that movement, and now I learn we have competitions, we have Guinness World Records, okay, but like we do tricks. I mean, it's not like we go into a skate park and we go through the half pipes and just do our tricks. So let's get a little technical. There's three devices I found on your website. There's a flyboard, a pack, and then something.
A hoverboard.
A hoverboard. And these are connected to a jet ski. That's kind of the motor, the engine.
Yep.
How does that? Let's go technical for a moment.
Okay, so we'll kind of clear it up. The jet ski is driven by a water propulsion unit. It has an interior pump, which is just really shooting the water out of the back of the jet ski. That's initially how all jet skis are propelled through the water. If you can understand the mechanics of that kind of device, now what we're doing is we're putting a U-pipe apparatus onto the pump. We're taking off the steering gate off the jet ski, so now the jet ski isn't there to really be a jet ski anymore. All it's becoming now is a water pump.
It's pushing the. Yeah.
It's just going to put water into this U-pipe that's going to drive that hose, which our hose is about 65 to 75 feet long, and we're going to hook it up to a lanyard so it pulls the jet ski forward, and then that way we're just connecting it to a little coupler that connects to each device that we can have or whichever the rider chooses to fly. Mm-hmm. So that coupler just clips onto a little Y-pipe, which has a board on it for the flyboard, and then it has two jets that shoot down each side of your feet, so left foot, right foot. And it's a real subtle change. The sensation of your feeling is like you're getting on an elevator. When you step on that elevator and you hit second floor, mm-hmm. and right as that elevator starts to push you up, you feel that little up sensation. That's really what the flyboard is. It's real subtle, low impact. So we can fly you at 2 feet, where you can just hover above the water, or we can get to 5, 10, 15. It's generally going to be based on your weight and the RPM on the jet ski being driven by an instructor. So the instructor is going to stay on the jet ski and allow more or less water flow through that hose up to the apparatus that you're flying, and then you're going to generally be able to control your height based on your power flow by your heels and your toes. So it's a really, there's not a lot of effort. There's not a lot of like having to swim hard. You see a lot of the pictures, you'll see people way up in the air. A lot of these pictures are taken after about 10 to 15 minutes of a lot of our flyers flying, because they've realized, I'm afraid of heights. I'm anxious because I have something tied to my feet underwater. Do I swim? Do I not swim? Once you lose your anxiety and your fear of all of the things that you were thinking you were about to do, you're not going to skyrocket in the air. You're really stable with your own personal balance. Once they feel that sensation out of the water, they always look at me and say, I want to go higher.
Mm-hmm.
Because the more power I give you, the more control each person has, and they decide how high they actually want to go. So you're seeing some of these people fly because they get the heel toe. It's a real simple method.
That's forward and backwards?
Yeah, forward
well, like
is
kind of moving. It's like directing air.
Yeah,
in a way.
In a way, you're just directing the flow of that water to kind of keep you steady up in that on that platform.
Yeah.
If you don't overthink it, everybody ends up flying. It's the overthinkers, the people that are paranoid or they're anxious about something or they're expecting something else. Those are the ones I will be patient and let them take a break and rest for a second. And once I say relax, it's amazing how many people just slowly just get up.
Mm-hmm.
And they just relaxed.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very easy apparatus. The hose is all it is a big ball and chain effect. So you're tethered to a jet ski. The jet ski is giving you all that power. So where you fly, now the person on the jet ski, the instructor, will follow you at wherever you fly him or at the lake. You can fly a jet pack, which would be over the shoulders, something you would strap over your shoulders, and you use rods in your arms to steer the jet's direction. So same fundamentals of hydroflight sporting is applied. You're just using the jet's direction with your arms instead of your hips and your legs.
Yeah.
So, and then the hoverboard, which is very much wakeboarder type, snowboard type.
Mm-hmm.
You're really going to get the same aspect of heel-toe carving across the water. Now, that device goes up in the air and has some pretty extreme maneuvers that you can do on it. It is definitely something you graduate into after you've learned what hydroflighting is, but it is very super fun, and everybody just, once they start flying a hoverboard, they love it. So,
thinking about flying, like meaning you go also forward, you make distance, right?
Yep.
So the jet ski has your engine has to follow you?
Yep.
Right, of course, obviously.
Yep.
So you move in a direction and that the power has to follow you.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
So, and it's not in your way.
Nope.
You're kind of behind you, I guess.
You're kind of pulling it in a direction. Now, there is some things to be aware of. You're always kind of pulling the jet ski. So you do have a thing called drag. So going back to my aviation degree and explaining the four fundamentals of flight is lift, weight, thrust, and drag. So all four fundamentals of flight are applied here in this situation. Your lift is going to be based on how much your drag has been induced or not. If you are pulling away or going straight away from the jet ski, it tends to bring you down to the water because you're inducing and bringing more momentum onto that hose and pulling away from the ski. But if you turn and come back towards the ski and start a circular motion, since the ski already has some forward motion now that you've pulled it, you're going to be able to start maintaining a flight path at a consistent rate of altitude because you've induced the momentum on the ski to flow through the water.
Hmm.
Similar as if you pull like from a boat, you have to give it a nudge to start moving. So it's kind of that little nudge, and once that's there and you have that hose all nice and tight with you, the power just keeps you flying, and if you're on your heels, your altitude can come higher because you're stopping your forward motion. Those jets are straight under you. You'll still move forward a little bit if you feather your toes forward and you just drop to the water a little bit, and that induces that drag. That drag is now going to move the jet ski a little bit more. So now you can get on your heels and go up again because the drag is coming. You're reducing the drag by giving that momentum and getting all that slack from the hose. So if that makes sense, or a good way to do it, if you're listening at home, you can take a string and you take that string and you put it in a cup of water and then take that string and make an S. Now, the minute you start making that S, that's a consistent radius turn in the water. If you turn sharp, you'll notice that it kinks and it makes chatter, and it'll do that to a string or anything you're doing in the water. So that's what we're trying to avoid. We're trying to keep that hose from kinking. Now, if you were to turn in front of the jet ski and I'm about to tie a knot, let's just say I'm flying in front of the jet ski and people will try to fly straight away. If they just turn a little bit, they stand up. But then if they turn in front of me and the jet ski where they just stood up, they're going to cross the hose, is what I call a dirty hose. That means your hose might be giving you power now, but the minute you pull away too far, that hose is going to want to buckle and it starts to chatter and it cuts the power for a second. You'll come down to the water and then you have to be ready because it will start to give you water again, and then you'll have to come back up.
It's like a water hose when you sprinkle the lawn. I mean, like,
yep.
Right?
Exactly. Yeah, that's a good analogy as well.
Or if I start pulling a car, if you ever towed a car, that first moment you pull that car, like, it's like, and then once the car is rolling, it's easier.
Yes,
right?
Exactly.
It's like
yep.
So you, yeah. So pulling that jet ski is very similar from the physical problem.
Yep, it's the same idea.
Yeah,
and that thrust is what's, I'm giving you the thrust to pull me, and you need to be able to get that thrust to pull me just a little, and then turn away from it and come back to the back of the ski. The momentum starts. That's where everybody stands up. It works really well. It takes a lot of, I've seen years and years of this now, so I get that. That's where the safest place to get everybody to go up is, because they don't challenge themselves. We're working with them every time. And once they're up, they tend to just finally get it. They have more control than they really thought they did.
How many people book you? Or like, how does that work? Like, I've seen you actually, I think 2 weeks ago on Little Detroit Lake there, on a Sunday, right by the mile long beach. I saw it. Or the,
yep.
So how popular is it? Is it already popular? Do you have?
Well, it's growing. I can see that. This year has been probably, we quadrupled our business by far, just because of the word of mouth and the amount of people we're getting up. Resorts have really latched on. And a lot of it has to do with just being consistent with your customers. And guarantee that we fly people I don't give up on anyone. And I think that plays a big role in being able to show how easy it is. When I'm all the way down to, a 12 to 13 year old kid, and then I've flown up to 91 years old.
Really?
It's just a 67 year old gal and a 76 year old gal just in the last couple weeks, and it was amazing how they just don't want to quit. It's very low impact once you get it. It really is.
So you already have fans, yeah? Like, once they try it, they love it.
It's amazing how many people are just, we're booked for next year with some of these bookings that we've gotten because they've had so much fun. They want to get more personal time doing it instead of sharing their whole family in the booking that we did for a whole half day. They just would rather just their family and separate entities just do it because they had so much fun.
So you offer sessions for like a 30-minute session, an hour, I suppose, like half day, full day. So one can book you for a family reunion, a resort can book you, and or like how does that work?
We work it out with you. You know, we customize to kind of each event. We do demonstrations, we do events where we'll be there, we'll do a demo for everybody, and then we can fly a certain number of people per hour that we're kind of restricted to just because of timing. We really want to allow people to have each a moment. And then you can book us for hours, half hours. Half hours are usually something you would book at like somewhere where we're going to be if we're advertising that. But you can always call and, you know, maybe we're around the area on some certain day. We're always willing to come on over. And we do travel to your lake. We'll travel to your dock.
Mm-hmm, really?
If you have a lake house, I mean, we are more than willing to come straight to your dock. We like it when people meet us at the access because... you know how it is finding that person's dock on a lake. It's not easy.
There's no house number.
Yeah. So, I mean, you can call us on our website, which is www.hydroflightsportsofmn or hydroflightsportsmn.com.
Yeah.
And then you can find us on Facebook. You can always private message us on Facebook or Instagram, which is hydroflightsportsofmn. And we... always get back with you. Molly's our contact gal. Sometimes you'll talk directly to me. And if I'm in the area, I've had people call me up when I'm driving through town and they say, hey, do you got time? And I just pull over and I pull right in the water and there we go. We're flying within about 5-10 minutes. So it's not like a big, you know, drawn out thing for everybody. Sometimes when we do big events, we do bring a crew. And if you do a private session, like usually half days or full days, which we have had a lot this year, we bring a safety member and a crew member instructor. So we're really, even though safety, we know we're safe, we want to ensure each flyer that their life jacket is secure, their helmet is secure, and that we care about them and that their feet are comfortably strapped in. So we're starting out with some of those things, making sure people understand the equipment. We do a safety meeting beforehand, and we really give you a thorough perspective of what's happening and what's going on. And you notice how people just finally, their anxiety, they've all those questions that they had, you know, before they saw the device, or are kind of relieved. And they, every single person I've ever done, and I've done, I'm close to 1,000 people as an instructor, and I've never had not one person with a frown. They all smile.
Yeah. Tell me now, so we know how to get a hold of you and we know you're a local and we've seen you probably already. I'm curious, what is about those competitions? So, it's a brand new sport. How do they work? Obviously, they do tricks. They don't do races, right? They do tricks.
Yep.
And how does that work?
Okay, so a lot of the things that are happening in the hydroflight world are still developing. So when it comes to on the U.S. circuit, we have a thing called the Hydrofest. And there's also down in Bermuda coming up here actually at the end of the month. You'll be able to check it out, I believe, on Hydroflight Sports, one of their Facebook pages. You'll be able to look it up and get a link. Even on ours, we will be posting a link to watch the Bermuda Battle of the Rock. So there's a U.S. Side, there's a European championship as well. Zapata Racing has its own division of flyboard competitions, which is we are a Zapata Racing dealer. Zapata does a World Cup series. So they really have set the bar on who is the best in the world and who really comes and meets those challenges as the new developer of the tricks and styles that we're seeing out there today. So you really, there are great hydroflight athletes around the world that are riding other boards, which, you know, we're not against anything with Defy and X-Jets and Flydive. They're great companies. We just, as the World Cup grows, the World Cup is mainly just a Zapata Racing product. It doesn't mean that there isn't going to be any more any other hydro flight sports competitions coming up. We're just waiting for things to develop here in the U.S. and it'll start growing even faster.
But how does a event look like with a trick? So it's is it like more public? Is there like a lot of people at the beach, juries? How would that look like if I attended one?
You would see, you'll see that on our Facebook page as well. We were at the World Cup 2016 last year.
Uh-huh.
We did some live broadcasting. I was doing some live stuff. But basically what you're seeing is you're going to see it broke up into qualifying rounds. It'll break up, depends on how many riders are qualified into the first 32. If we're at 32 flyers, then they do challenge rounds in the beginning, so they'll qualify.
How does a trick look like? How
their trick is tricks really are judged on style. Control is a big one, because hose control is really part of flying. It's flying the board, flying the hose. The hose is your power.
Sure.
It's your fundamental. It's kind of your umbilical cord. So mm-hmm. It really controls your whole entire flight path, as long as you can control how that hose is being flown. So you're getting control, style points, difficulty points. It's just a rhythm. How rhythmic was that flight?
Kind of like gymnastics by the Olympics?
Yeah.
In a way?
Yeah, in a way.
Ice skating?
Yeah, and I've seen hundreds of different flyers and videos over the years of people up and coming, people that, you know, are really kind of getting away from the competition phase. And some of my favorite flyers are really just graceful. Some of them are very aggressive. So it just depends on, you know, who you're watching. TJ Andrews, who is part of Flyboard of Montana, he's part of Team CanFly now up in Canada. Brody Wells and Mike Prince, amazing flyers. Alex Scar, these guys are have set the bar. They're probably one of the best teams in the world for a flyboard team. They have a style that is unique to them, and you'll see they all have their individual style as well. And then you can go all the way over to Europe, or you can fly over even down in the Asia. You will see everybody has a different style of flying, and it's really unique. One of the best flyers in the world right now has got, I don't know, I like to say he's kind of got it under control at all times. The guy is amazing, and I just can't.
Who is it?
Well, Sean Ray is right now for the 2017 area. Sean Ray is setting some bars right now.
And where is he from? Montana?
Sean Ray, I believe, is, I want to say, he's in Massachusetts or.
Okay, so but he's usually practice on a lake, though, right? Usually states with a
lake.
Yeah,
lake.
Ocean.
I mean, it just depends on the vicinity. There's people from all around this country, all around the world that I follow, so it's really hard to.
Okay, I was just curious.
Yeah, there's so many people that are flying now that are professionals.
But they, is it kind of like a golfer has a caddy to select the club? They always need a pilot to get the power, right? So is it always two?
No. Then? Okay, so after about 20 hours of flyboarding, usually you get a grasp of kind of the whole machine, the whole fly the board, fly the hose fundamental. Then you become wanting to fly yourself. Mm-hmm. So to fly yourself, you get a remote, which would be called an EMK, an electronic module control. So now you have something to start the machine, shut the machine off with a button, and run a trigger as your power. So now nobody has to be on the jet ski. There is a safety feature on the thing for if it hits the water, it will shut off the machine, so it makes it safe. However, you can take that off for a 20-second delay for pro flying, for doing your dolphin dives and stuff like that. So pro riders fly with their own control, their remote in their hand, and they're controlling all of that power. It's safer for everyone, because flying, you wouldn't want to sit on a jet ski with a pro rider. It just, you would be riding one of those little riding bull things you see at some of those Montana bars.
I don't know what it is.
Well,
oh, the riding bull. Oh, yeah.
Those.
Yes.
It would be like that, and you'd get really wet.
Oh, okay.
So if you watch some of the videos, and you can kind of watch when they're doing some of these 60 to 70 foot aerial backflips and stunts and layouts, that jet ski is flipping around in the water like crazy, and it's a violent ride if you're trying to ride a ski with a pro rider, and I know what that feels like, being in it for so long and flying some of the guys that I've flown. TJ Andrews was really hard to fly, and he's ranked fourth in the world right now. So, it was interesting to sit on the ski with him flying.
So, next opportunity to actually see you at an event, I think every Friday you are at Zorbas in Detroit Lakes. Is it every Friday?
Yeah, we do a Fly Day Friday. We do go down to Zorbas. You can get $50 off your half hour flight. So you get a half hour for $100, and you get to share that with somebody, because we'll do two people. I can do somebody in 15 minutes, and then I can get the other person out there if you're willing to share it, or you can just take the whole half hour to yourself, and we'll go through some phases, and I'll get you flying even higher. But yeah, we do Zorbas every Friday night. We'll
be doing
that
in
Detroit Lakes, and we'll be doing that all through the summer. For the rest of this summer, and we'll be back again next summer. We plan on doing a possible demo day this year, where we'll be bringing out several different devices to show to the public and do some footage and some commercial look. And
in September?
We're thinking of sometime near the end of August. Maybe it'll be in September. That schedule hasn't been decided yet.
And then Detroit Lakes or?
It'll be in DL.
Also in public at the mile-long beach?
We'll probably try to do it in the beach or in front of the Holiday Inn, one of the two.
Yeah, okay, so.
Just because there's a big area where you can view.
But people can find you, book you from Alexandria to Comrades to
Park Rapids. Yep, in Park Rapids we're hoping to have another location started next year up there. We've had a lot of interest up there. We just can't make it because it's such a stretch of a drive when we have other bookings at a nearby lake here. It's hard to stretch that mileage out and try to make those time restraints work out for us and them. So we'll be working with somebody up there. We have some interest, and we'd like to get them started to provide this service up there.
Oh, fascinating. Brand new sport. I saw it. I'm a little scared. I'm scared of heights anyways, but with the water, I think that's kind of maybe a different feel than falling from a tree onto the ground. Falling into the water is also hard, though, I think. That's why the helmet, right?
Yeah.
So safety first. You have a safety instruction, you said, and then safety first. But I'm excited to see it again and maybe try it sometime. If people find you, you said it earlier, hydrosportsmn.com.
Yeah, Hydroflight Sports.
Hydroflight Sports. mn.com.
And then you can go to the Facebook, Hydroflight Sports of Minnesota, MN, or you can go to the Instagram. I mean, if you look for us, you'll find us on your Google.
Yeah.
And then you can also just call me at 218-850-0179. You can call me directly, and you can talk with me or Molly, and we'll set you up with whatever you need to know. Feel free to call with questions. We're willing to answer those questions. There's a lot to the sport, but actually, fundamentally, it's a real easy apparatus. It's not a high technology kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a, why didn't they get it invented earlier? Yeah. You know?
Yeah.
And it's super safe. It's safer than pulling somebody behind your boat. And that's kind of why I'm really, really into this sport, because I've been in extreme sports most of my life. I'm at that age where I need to start taking care of my body. I need to be able to stay on skis and a snowboard for my kids through my 50s and 60s, because that's what I want to do. I don't want to give up something I passionately love. So being in a low-impact sport that I can take to my level when I want to, and know that I'm safe and a lot safer than I am on a dirt bike, just to be honest, the difference is that, you know, I feel safe, low impact, I'm saving my body, my joints, It's so relaxed. You only go as high as you want. We've got great instructors. We've never had an incident. We've never had any injuries or any problems with anyone. Everybody walks away smiling. It's one of the greatest experiences of everyone's life, that they've always said, and even for mine. And I think one of the things that keeps me consistent, people say, well, how do you tolerate meeting hundreds of people in just a week and teaching all those people how to flyboard, saying the same thing over and over again? I love it. I love giving that experience and sharing that with somebody else and looking at their face light up. And they all do. They all just can't believe it. And when I get thanked for something that they did, and I reassure them that it wasn't me who flew, it was you, that really makes me feel great to be able to say, this experience I got to share with you and join you on one of the coolest things that you'll never forget. And nobody will ever forget it.
Well, I think there's a lot of people wanting to try it, for sure. Well, thank you very much for sharing your passion, and I think that came across. I will try it out. Thank you very much.
Yeah, I hope to get you out flying, and I really, really want to hear how you felt after you did it.
Yeah, okay. All right. I'll do that.
All right, thank you.
Thanks for coming. Yeah, this was already our newest episode of the Lake Life Weekend podcast. We sure hope you enjoyed it. Tune in again next week with another great guest and updates. Always check out our website, lakelifeweekend.com. And if you have some comments, please feel free to email us at hello@lakelifeweekend.com. And you have a wonderful weekend ahead.